Radio Prague News.
Shareholders have agreed to the sale of a controversial pig farm to the state. Police are investigating fewer cases of parents not paying their share for raising children. And football club Sparta Prague have drawn in their season opener. A majority of shareholders in AGPI, an agriculture company owning a controversial pig farm in South Bohemia, agreed on Monday to the farm's sale to the state. For years, the pig farm stood partly on the site of a former labor and later World War II concentration camp where Romanis were interned. Some 300 people died there and an additional 500 people were sent to Auschwitz. According to the Czech news agency, 88% of shareholders were in favor and 11% were against. The government is still keeping details, including the buyout price, under wraps. However, AGPI is expected to release the details once the sale is completed. Human rights activists and Roma groups have long sought the removal of the pig farm, calling it a stain on the memory of those who suffered and died at the former camp. The number of cases where parents of split families are failing to make payments for raising children has fallen for the fourth year running. In 2016, police investigated just over 10,600 cases where payments were not being made. That's around 1,500 fewer than the previous year. Higher unemployment and the possibility of withdrawing driver licenses from non-paying parents are among the reasons given for the fall in numbers. There are around 180,000 single-parent families in the Czech Republic. In other news, 55 Czech police officers departed for foreign missions on Monday in Macedonia and Serbia, where they'll serve until September 11th, when they will rotate out. The news was confirmed by the police president, Petr Petrík. The Czech officers will help guard Macedonia's border with Greece and Serbia's with Bulgaria. The move is part of a continuing operation in response to the migration crisis. 40 officers are to serve in Macedonia, the rest in Serbia. The regional governor for Zlín, Jiří Čuněk, has declared a state of emergency in the region to try and isolate and prevent the spread of African swine fever. The outbreak of the disease among wild boar is largely concentrated in a 20 square kilometer area. A measure to be taken will include the installation of 45 kilometer long electric fencing to keep infected animals in and healthy animals out. Only a handful of participants remained early on Monday at a meadow near Nymburk, east of Prague, who attended an illegal techno party at the site at the weekend, which attracted up to 6,000 attendees in total. Around 200 people, the Czech news agency reported, remained at the site on Sunday. The local mayor has complained the field was damaged by the illegal gathering, while locals complained that the loud music had disturbed the peace. The party began on Friday. Police tried to get attendees to leave, but otherwise did not step in. Turning to sport now, in football, Sparta Prague drew 1-1 in their first league game of the new season against Prague rivals Bohemians 1904. David Lafata was his 200th goal for the club, scored from the penalty spot in the 16th minute. 2 minutes from time, Martin Schmid equalized. And Tomáš Rosický came on for Sparta in the 71st minute. Sparta's Italian manager Stramaccioni described the performance as an improvement over their Europa League qualifier last week. I'm Jan Vellinger. You'll find more news at radio.cz. This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Vellinger, coming up in today's program. 2 months after a strict smoking ban came into effect in pubs and restaurants around the Czech Republic, is there a new alternative for smokers? More in a moment. According to reports, the Czech Central Bank is on the verge of raising interest rates, a move that has not been seen for almost a decade. We'll also have the latest in sport, and in the second half of the program, is there something strange in your neighborhood? If so, it turns out the man to call is reporter Raymond Johnson, who's put together an interactive map of haunted places in Prague. That's all coming up. Just 2 months after a strict smoking ban came into effect in pubs and restaurants around the Czech Republic, smokers are getting acquainted with a novel product on the market: heat, not burned tobacco products, which are said to be less detrimental to health and which might allow them to smoke in public places once again. The Czech authorities have yet to set the norms for these products, which are something between a classic and electronic cigarette. Daniela Lazarova has this report.
A heat-not-burn tobacco product, widely known as HNB, employs heating rather than burning of tobacco, generating an aerosol that contains nicotine. Manufacturers claim that unlike their combustible counterparts, HNB cigarettes are less detrimental to health while delivering the required dose of nicotine to a user. A tobacco stick along with a heating element will provide the user with a choice across the different heat-not-burn tobacco products available. Klára Jirovcová Pospíšilová from Philip Morris explains the benefits.
Důležité je, že ta tabáková náplň se zahřívá pouze na 300 stupňů Celsia.
What is important is that the tobacco does not burn. It is merely heated to 300 degrees Celsius, which means that there is no smoke and no ash, and you cannot smell it as much as normal cigarettes.
Žádný kouř, nevzniká samozřejmě ani popel, také je méně cítit.
HNBs first appeared on the market in 1988, but they were not a big success. At the time, they were no match for the classic cigarette, but with tough anti-smoking laws in force around Europe, tobacco companies are hoping HNBs will see new opportunities opening up. Some countries in Europe, such as Poland, Hungary and Spain, have already issued a tough ban on HNBs, putting them on par with regular cigarettes, but others, like the Czech Republic, have yet to lay down the rules for these products. The Czech Health Ministry claims that the anti-smoking ban should apply to HNBs as well, but others claim that under Czech law they would fall in the same category as electronic cigarettes, which are not banned in pubs and restaurants. Taxation of HNB tobacco products has not yet been decided at the EU level, and the Czech Finance Ministry has yet to address the issue as well. For the time being, HNB tobacco products are exempted from consumer tax in this country, which gives them an enormous advantage over classic cigarettes. In Germany, Portugal or Slovakia, consumer tax already applies to them, though it is a different rate from the regular tobacco products. In the Czech Republic, an amendment to the law should clarify the status of HNBs by 2019.
And Daniela Lazarová reporting there on the apparent evolution of the cigarette and what that might mean for would-be smokers here in the Czech Republic. According to many analysts and economists, the Czech Central Bank is now on the verge of raising interest rates, and that's a move that has not been seen for almost a decade. Chris Johnson looks at the likelihood of such a move this week and in the weeks to come.
A head-scratching question for many. When did the Czech National Bank last raise interest rates? The winning reply would be in the midst of the last boom in 2008, when the rate was raised to 3.75%. In the meantime, rates have been cut and cut, till at the current rate of 0.05%, they can hardly go any lower, and the only way is up. In spite of that, the Czech National Bank more or less threw interest rates out of the economic toolbox when it bought in its sustained low-crown policy. That low-crown regime was consigned more or less to the toolbox scrap heap in April this year, when the crown was allowed to float, and interest rates are now back again in the spotlight. In fact, many analysts and economists are betting that the bank board meeting on August the 3rd will see a raise in interest rates and a change in rates for the first time since they started flatlining at the current level from November 2012. Jan Bureš is chief economist at Patria Finance. We asked him how likely an interest rate rise now appears to be.
I think it is quite likely that the interest rate is going to be raised already on Thursday. In favor of raising interest rates, I think so would play a new forecast of the Czech National Bank, which should confirm the old one and point to the necessity of the interest rate hike during the third quarter of this year. Beside that, I also believe that the growing prices on the property market might be another factor that may play in favor of the hawks on the board. On the other hand, there is one strong argument for being patient, and this is ECB, because ECB is staying on hold with its QE strategy and with negative interest rates. And starting the hiking cycle in the Czech Republic much earlier ahead of the ECB could cause more significant strengthening of the Czech currency and could have a much more significant impact on tightening the monetary conditions that probably the Czech National Bank would like to see. So therefore, one cannot exclude that the Czech National Bank could postpone still the first interest rate hike to the autumn, to September, or maybe a bit later. But me personally, I think there is a very high probability it can already happen this week as well.
Okay, and that was Jan Buresh talking to Chris Johnstone in that report, looking at the possibility of interest rates being raised. Now it's time for Ian Willoughby to come along with all the results in Czech sports.
We begin today with football, and the new season in the Czech top flight began at the weekend amid unusually high anticipation following a summer of hitherto unseen spending by the country's top clubs. And one of the eye-catching new recruits, Hamid Altintop, helped title holder Slavia Prague get off to a winning start. The former Turkey international scored the only goal of their game against Teplice from the spot after a controversial penalty call. However, the champions were outplayed by the visitors for much of the game, and Slavia goalkeeper Jan Laštůvka was frustrated by their performance.
I don't know why, but we started to get scared. We lost the ball a lot and the game didn't develop as we would have liked. We lacked a second goal to calm our nerves. But still, even though we just won 1-0, we've got 3 points, so I think we will be satisfied.
Fellow title contenders Sparta Prague immediately fell off the pace after failing to make home advantage pay in a 1-1 draw with Bohemians 1905. Sparta's first league game under Italian Andrea Stramaccioni got off to a bright enough start when David Lafata converted a penalty in 16 minutes for his 200th league goal. But Bohemians spoiled the party with an equaliser in the dying minutes. As well as Lafata's strike, Sunday's game saw a hero's welcome for Tomasz Rosicki, who was making only his second appearance since returning to Sparta last year.
I think it was a wonderful welcome, an emotional moment for me. I have to thank the people for the welcome they gave me. It could have been a wonderful evening for us, but of course the climax of the game destroyed all that. But I have to say Bohemians deserved the point because they played well.
Elsewhere, Viktoria Pilsen beat Dukla Prague 4-0. With all of those strikes coming in the first half of that encounter. And Baník Ostrava beat Brno 3-1 away, with Milan Baroš immediately getting on the score sheet after his latest return to his boyhood club. Finally, swimming, and the Czech Republic have taken their first medal at the World Swimming Championships in 14 years, after Michal Navratil's finished second in extreme diving. The 32-year-old was overjoyed to collect silver in Budapest.
I'm really glad it worked out. I wanted to reach the podium, but didn't dare hope. It was very tense, very dramatic to the last round, to the last dive, because each dive counts. I couldn't afford a single mistake, as that would have cost me a place on the podium.
A world championship, but not Olympic discipline, extreme diving is done from aboard an incredible 47 metres above the ground. And that's all the sports news for today.
And that was Ian Willoughby with the sport, and Ian is going to be back in just a second with today's main feature. But before that, just a quick reminder, this is the International Service of Czech Radio. And if you'd like to comment on anything you've heard in today's program, please write to us at english@radio.cz. Don't forget, Radio Prague is also on Twitter and Facebook, so you can also leave your comments there. Now, though, it's time for today's main feature.
One attraction for visitors to Prague is the city's unusually rich history of magic and alchemy. The Czech capital also has more than its fair share of haunted places, around 130 in the old and new towns alone, according to American Raymond Johnston. A well-known journalist in Prague for many years, Johnston has now created an interactive map, chiefly intended for smartphones, that makes it easy to get on the trail of the city's phantoms and legends. As we sat recently outside the 14th century St. Peter's Church at Naporici, he explained how the map came about.
I was just trying to organize the stories for myself because I was trying to take pictures. And I was always finding out that I missed a place right nearby. So I figured if I made a map for myself, it would be really useful. And then everyone I showed it to wanted a copy. So I had to make it more useful for everybody to put in little stories with every point. But I really started for my own research.
How long did it take you to compile the map?
Originally about 2 weeks, but it's a work in progress and will always be a work in progress. So I'm still working on it, still adding things all the time.
And how do you do your research?
I've got a bunch of books, both in English and in Czech, and then I also find things online. But I try to weed out the recently made up stories, the fake stories from things that have some history or some background to them. I want to keep it with real legends and not just PR things people made up to promote their hotel or something.
Are there many of those?
There's a couple. There's a couple of fake ghost stories around town.
Give me an example.
There's a new ghost haunted bar that just opened, and I can't find those stories anywhere.
And if I understand it right, your map is also related to an annual tour of Magic Prague, is that right?
Yes. The company I work for, Baba Studio, does a tour once a year. It'll be in April. And it's a week-long tour, mainly aimed for foreigners coming here because they book out an entire hotel. They don't only do Prague, they go Kutnohora, some other places. So it's a really full week of seeing things, but everything on it has some kind of magical or esoteric or historical connotation in that aspect.
Where do they go? What are the most popular sites on the tour?
It's the places you would mainly go along the tourist area, but what they hear is different. Of course, you go to Charles Bridge, the castle area, Kampa, and some of the churches around town, and then some things out of town. But what they hear is not the same as you would get on other tours.
Typically, when they come, have they got knowledge of any of Prague's legends? I presume, for example, the golem they must know.
Yeah, they know some of the background, and the website I'm working for is to give them a chance to read up a little more on the background. But yeah, they all have a little bit of knowledge or a little bit of interest or they wouldn't come here.
Who are the people who come on the tour?
They come from the US. They come from other parts of Europe. I think there were some people from Australia and South America last time. They usually have some interest in esoteric things, tarot card reading and fortune telling and things like that. But it's open to anybody who just wants a different side of the history. And we don't only cover ghosts. We have where alchemists lived, where some real fortune tellers lived. There was a woman on the Golden Lane at Prague Castle who predicted the Germans would lose World War II, and the Nazis tried to get her to recant that, and she refused and was actually killed for that. So we have her on the map. We have several like other real people on the map where John Dee and Edward Kelly are supposed to have lived, that they were real alchemists who came here, and various people associated with the court of Rudolf II. So we try to mix in some real people and some other things as well as just the ghosts.
Do you believe in alchemy?
I think alchemy was really interesting in that you couldn't make a scientific discovery unless you made a corresponding spiritual discovery within yourself. And when you look at how we've handled atomic power, if we had matured ourselves enough to be able to handle that, it would have been so much better. If we had said, yes, we have atomic power, but we must make ourselves worthy of it, worthy of this gift, then we could have avoided Hiroshima. So I think there is some value to alchemy if you look at it that way, because there was some real science being done alongside with the mumbo-jumbo aspect, as people would call it now, but there was a value to that. There was a point they were searching for something deep in the soul as well as something real and physical in the scientific world.
Getting back to your map, would Czechs know the legends and ghosts that appear on the map?
They know some of them, but I think people are surprised at the volume of them between Old Town and New Town. There's like 130 haunted houses, which is a lot. When I mapped them all, I was surprised how many there were. So they know some of the stories. But we have gotten a lot of interest from Czech people. There's a small article in Metro about it, and some other Czech websites mentioned it. So they don't know all the legends, but they are interested.
And how can you use this map? You can have it on your mobile. You can open it in Google Maps.
You can open it on your smartphone and follow it around like any other map. And when you come to a point, you can touch on the point and it gives you a small one or two sentence story about it. And some of them have links to a larger story on the website. That part we're still building up until I don't think we'll ever get, like every point we'll have a story.
We're here outside the Church of St. Peter at Naporici. Why have you come here? What are the stories associated with this church?
Actually, outside of the center, this is one of the most haunted places. There's three ghosts here, three ghosts and a unicorn. The first ghost was a gravedigger during one of the plagues, and he was also a card player, and all of his friends died, and he just wished to the devil he could have one more game with his friends. So, of course, the devil quickly obliged him, and he had one more game with his friends, but now he wanders the area, cursed as a ghost, trying to get more people to play with him, but it's a high-stakes game. If you lose your soul. There's a harlot, a woman of the night, was chased by a policeman down the street. She tried to jump over a fence and got killed by the attack dog, and she was afraid her father in Kutnohora would find out what she was doing for a living. So if anyone reassures her that her father won't find out, she'll be set free from being a ghost. The third thing is, there's a magical light. This used to be a cemetery until all the urban cemeteries got moved out of the center of town. And a magical light will appear over where there's a buried treasure in someone's tomb, according to a story. I've never seen it. And then the last thing is, a magician down the street summoned up a unicorn, quickly lost control of it, didn't know enough magic. The unicorn ran off and sometimes comes back here, according to the legend. Again, I've never seen it.
What are the parts of the city with the highest concentrations of ghosts and legends?
Vyšehrad has an awful lot. And then from Prague Castle and Lovratenské náměstí, down the root of a street across the Charles Bridge into Old Town Square. So the main tourist route, but that was also the most heavily populated area way back in history, so that would make sense.
And I noticed from the map that there are several legends or ghosts associated also with the Charles Bridge.
Yeah, there's quite a lot there. There's legends there, like everyone knows, the one town they brought the hard-boiled eggs instead of regular eggs to help make the concrete. Supposedly there's a golden sword buried in the bridge that St. Wenceslas will come when the country's in its most dire need and take the sword and go to the mountain Blanik and lead a ghost army to save the country. That's a well-known story. One of the statues is of a Turkish person, and there's a small prison there with people trapped in it. Apparently, he comes off the statue at night, wanders around the town, and tries to find people to put into his dungeon there. I know that's kind of a little bit of a racist story. Some of the ghost stories have a bit of a old-fashioned tone to them. There's someone who stole an old-fashioned bicycle near the bridge, rode it into the river and drowned, and he became a ghost. He can be freed if he returns to the biking club. The thing is, the biking club no longer exists.
Isn't it also the case that on Charles Bridge there is a statue where if you rub it, it's lucky? But this is a relatively new thing. It doesn't have a history.
Yeah, I've traced that back to around 1990, and capitalism was new here, and some college students wanted to make some money and began charging people 50 hellers to touch the statue for good luck. And that's where that started, because if you look at pictures from even the 1950s, none of that is rubbed shiny. And if that had been going on for hundreds of years, that would show in the pictures. It would be rubbed shiny, and it's not. So I've actually traced that back to about 1990. It's very popular, though. It's so popular now that there's three or four places people touch, because the tour guides have to break the crowds up to touch different things now, because everyone wants to touch something for good luck. So there's three or four different places now people touch, not just the statue of John of Nepomuk. Touching the dog for luck, I think, was the first.
What are the most popular stories with visitors to Prague?
The ones I hear tour guides telling the most is on the side of City Hall. There's that statue of the Black Knight, and that's a ghost, and that's a well-known legend, and it's one of the few actual statues of a ghost anywhere in the world. He was a knight. He killed his fiancée in a jealous rage, and through various things got turned into stone, and he can be released once every 100 years if a woman of true heart kisses him, but nobody knows what the day is. So, good luck.
And are there any stories that you yourself particularly like?
There's a ghost of an angry turkey on Kampa. Around Easter, you're not supposed to eat meat on Friday, but the mill keeper there couldn't wait, so he ate the turkey on Friday, choked and died right away. But he didn't come back as a ghost. The turkey came back as a ghost, and it apparently flames and is very angry on some Good Fridays, though he hasn't been seen recently.
Are there any of these stories or legends that are particularly gruesome?
Yeah, there's quite a few headless horsemen. There's a lot of people killing their fiancés, so you wind up with a lot of headless women walking around. There's several related to wars. There's a ghoul or a zombie in Stromovka, left over from the uprising of 1848, who eats raw fish and sometimes comes out of the lake there and tries to catch people, but he's so slow he never catches anybody.
What about the funniest names? Perhaps by the very nature of translating the names, some of them do sound kind of hilarious in English, especially when you see them on the map alongside normal names on Google Maps, like of hotels or cafes. I noticed, for example, the headless wife who wears a pot, the strangling Jewess, and my favourite, the smelly half-witted knacker.
Yeah, I think like Czech names, you get used to people being named strange things, but they do sound a bit funny in English. The woman who wears a pot for her head, she died during a plague and the husband cut her head off, put a pot there hoping nobody would notice. Now she wanders around with the pot on her head. Yeah, the smelly half-witted knacker was a kind of a child molester who worked in a rendering shop, so he smelled bad working, you know, working with dead animals all the time.
Should call him the smelly child molesting half-witted knacker.
You could say that. I don't think that would help raise his popularity very much.
What's your own relationship, Raymond, to ghosts and the supernatural?
Well, I find it like a really interesting history, and I like to keep that history going. I don't want it to be forgotten, but myself, I would need a lot more convincing to think that the ghosts really exist. I've not ever seen them. I've not ever found them at the places they're supposed to be at the times they're supposed to be. But I think it's a history, like Prague's known as the Magic City. And I think we should keep that magic open to people, to let people know what it was like here. I mean, this was a big part of people's lives a long time ago. Horoscopes, fortune-telling, ghosts, witches, even vampires were huge here. And now, like, nobody remembers that.
American journalist Raymond Johnson was Ian Willoughby's guest, and of course they were discussing this new interactive map to some of Prague's haunted places and legends. And what is the city, or the capital city, if not a city of legend? That takes us to the end of the program. We've already given our address, but don't forget you can also look us up on the internet, radio.cz, for many more items, stories, news items, features, all kinds of good stuff. So do visit us online. Otherwise, that's it. I'm Jan Velinger. Thank you so much for joining us this day. And please join us again soon.